This is KCBX Public Radio for the Central Coast. I'm Father Ian Dellinger, and I'm playing with food. I remember back in the 90s, when I lived in the Bay Area, the grocery stores attempted to roll out delivery service. It was called Webvan, and it failed spectacularly. I remember being a bit bewildered because on one hand, Californians want to see and touch their produce before they buy it, and on the other hand, Americans are spectacularly lazy and will have anything delivered. Grocery delivery didn't really take off until something strange happened in 2020. Can't really remember what that was. Now you can get just about anything delivered, not just groceries. You can get your farm fresh produce delivered to your doorstep, go up to Cal Poly campus, and you have to dodge those little robotic coolers on wheels that deliver food that students order from the restaurants on campus. Grubhub, DoorDash, and Uber Eats will deliver anything you like, including a single pack of gum, as one driver told me. But more uniquely, a local delivery service fills the gap between the farm boxes, supermarkets, and restaurants, ordered from one place and delivered to your doorstep.
My name is Taryn Moeller, and I'm the director of operations for Harvestly. Harvestly is a local nonprofit that essentially works with almost 100 small farmers and food producers in our community, and then delivers that product, a customized bag, a customized order to your doorstep, all the way from Orchid to Paso Robles.
Is it kind of like the CSA box you get from Tally?
It is similar, but we do a lot more than just fruits and vegetables. You can order whatever you want. So ours is not a preset box. Ours is whatever you want to put in it. So you could order fruits and vegetables, frozen meat, eggs, ready-to-eat food. There's a huge variety. We have over 1,200 products on our site that you can shop through.
Wow. What's the origins of Harvestly?
It started by Cal Poly students in 2020, and they saw a need to try to cut out the middleman, because usually the middleman takes a larger profit. Us as a nonprofit, our goal is to keep as much money in the farmer's pocket or the producer's pocket instead of us keeping the money. They decided to kind of go on to other endeavors. They didn't want to see it go away. We didn't want to see it go away since they were working with so many great locals. And that's our goal, is to create a community of food and people that support people that are providing those foods.
You bought it from the students and took it to the next level.
Essentially, yes. Tweaked it and changed it a little bit. Still kept their core model and their vision, but changing it to a nonprofit has really given us access to grants and different funding and different opportunities that we wouldn't have, especially when it comes to helping the farmers and finding funds for them to help their businesses as well.
So did they approach you specifically, or did you see that they were for sale?
They approached a local nonprofit called Slow Money Slow and some different investors that were involved with them to see if they would take it over, because Slow Money Slow was an organization that gave out loans to small farms and to small food producers to help them grow and help them start. A couple of investors from Slow Money Slow decided to take Harvestly on. That's how I was brought in and started running it. And that was a couple years ago.
Cool. So can we see what you do?
Yeah, of course. So on a typical Friday, all of our orders have already been placed, and this is the day that our wonderful College Corps fellows and our staff are packing our bags. We have insulated bags, and all of the food for an order goes into that. There's pick lists to make sure that the correct quantity and the correct items are being put in the bag. Then when they're done packing them, there's ice packs added to keep things cool and zipped up, and they are ready for our delivery drivers to come pick them up. Our delivery drivers arrive around 1 o'clock, load up their order, and take it out on their delivery route.
Can we look into a typical bag?
I don't know if there's a typical bag. Do you want to just pick one?
Sure.
This is an example of an order. So there's a buttermilk ranch dressing.
Where does that come from?
That comes from Berry Hill Bistro in Paso Robles.
Oh.
There's a caramelized sweet potato peanut curry soup from Stephanie Nye. She's at Farmers Markets. There's a chipotle cheddar cheese, that's from Cal Poly. There's a deep dish caramelized garlic onion focaccia bread, Haas avocados, mapo tofu, some organic baby lettuce, organic broccoli sprouts, organic pitted dates, some organic red leaf lettuce, and some organic salad sprouts, pimento mac and cheese, a slice of maple pecan pie, some snickerdoodle cookies, tomato pie, a vegan salad, artichoke and whole bean with lemon, shallot, vinaigrette. And then the last item on this order is a whole veggie quiche.
That's quite a diverse shopping bag, very different than a CSA box.
Yes.
Yeah. Talk about the bag.
Our customers have an option to purchase our bag and keep that. So this customer very kindly purchased our bag. This is one of our largest overheads, is the insulated bag to make sure you get the food cooled. So when they are able to purchase it or make a donation toward that, that's very appreciated. Our customers are really recycle conscious, so they're very good about returning the bags to us and the ice packs. And when they come back, they get wiped down with bleach wipes. And then once they're dried, they're put on the racks and we can reuse them for quite a long time. You can see that they're really nicely insulated. The ice packs are also reusable. They can last us a long time. This week we have about 99 orders.
Tough question.
Okay.
I know you're a nonprofit, but is this profitable?
That is a great question. I think with time it will be profitable. right now we're not quite profitable. We're very fortunate that we have a specific wonderful donor that likes to remain anonymous that makes sure that we're funded. Like I said, since we're a nonprofit, we're able to apply for some different grants, which helps us until we become sustainable as well. It is a challenge though. It is definitely a challenge. It's great that we're a nonprofit because we can have people like this that are Cal Poly students. They are here through the College Corps program. So they're paid through College Corps, but that doesn't come out of Harvestly's pocket. But they get to come and work with us. They get to meet vendors. They get to make a lot of local connections. So that helps us keep costs down significantly. And the other thing I wanted to mention that helps us keep costs down, besides the bags and ice packs being returned, I guess this isn't our costs lower, but keeping our vendors' costs. So we have any glass jars, any glass bottles, anything that berries come in or eggs come in that can be reused, we save those and give them back to our farmers.
Somebody's dropping off something.
Yes. So this is Gerald from Blossa Urban Gardens, and he brings in a wide variety of organic produce. You can look in these bags and see that this customer has kale and green onions and green leaf lettuce, and these look like beet tops. We sell a ton of eggs, and they're nice to know where they came from and that they're healthy and the chickens are flourishing and you can see them and the chicken vendors are happy to talk to you and show you things if you'd like.
Do you have more than one egg vendor?
We do. We have quite a few. We have to keep up with demand.
So how do you determine who gets what eggs?
Our customers do.
Oh.
So they can log on to the site and they can order from whoever.
You're listening to KCBX Public Radio for the Central Coast. I'm Father Ian, and I'm at the Harvestly Warehouse, where the crew is packing bags full of local items. Eggs, handmade pies, mac and cheese, cookies, bread, avocados, and much more. I continue the tour as Taryn takes me into the cooler.
So this is more eggs, some cottage pies, some soup. La Migliore is one of our biggest sellers. They are an Italian bakery. They're actually traveling to Italy right now. So usually we have a ton of bread from them. But this week, since they're gone, just have some frozen items. These are salads and soups and some salad dressings, and it looks like an apple pie.
Some of these places are just sending down a couple items. Does that contribute to the overhead that you have or the overhead that they have if they're only sending, you know, a half a dozen items and you have to go to North County to pick them up?
That's why we created our pickup locations. For example, there's one in here that's a coffee vendor, Belnano Coffee in Atascadero. They're great. They just don't sell a lot through us yet. So instead of her having to drive all the way to San Luis to drop off one bag or two bags of coffee, she just drives to Atascadero Hay and Feed, drops it off there, and that's one of the pickup spots on our route for our driver.
Okay, so you're trying to keep the overhead costs as low as possible for both the customer and you and the vendor.
Yes.
How do you find new vendors?
Going to farmers market and seeing a lot of word of mouth. A lot of our vendors are really intertwined with other vendors. So they'll say, oh, hey, you know, Salty Bagels, one of our vendors, he's at downtown Slow Farmers Market. He reaches out. A-Town Humble Pie is great about letting other vendors know at the markets. Rad Juice is another one. I think that they're appreciative and we appreciate them. So it's a win-win relationship for all of us. So once they kind of get wind of it, and if they have a great product to sell, they can. On the flip side, if they come onto Harvestly for, say, a few weeks or a month or two and it's not working out for them, then it doesn't work out for them. Mm. You know, it's not like they have to sign on for life. If they want to try it, they can. Obviously, they have to have some requirements. We have to know where they're making their food. We require a copy of their liability insurance. Farmers, we have different procedures to go out to their farms and check it out. We want to make sure our customers are getting the best food that's prepared correctly and in clean situations.
While I was there, a supplier arrived to drop off some strawberries. Her presence was a testimony to the hyper-local nature of this business.
Hi, my name is Karina Gudino, and we are strawberry growers out in Arroyo Grande, Rodeo Farm Gardens, and we have very sweet Albion strawberry. We are with Harvestly because Taryn came to our farm, let us know that they were doing a farms together with all the local farmers.
How is your relationship different with Harvestly than it is, say, like farmers markets?
I think it is very nice how the program works because everything gets delivered to one spot. All we have to focus on the timing. We get here, the timing is before 12. Farmers market, you take whatever you have. Sometimes you take them back home because you didn't sell. And with this, you know what they want. You just bring it and that's it. It's already paid for.
How is it different than with supermarkets and grocery stores?
Oh, supermarkets and grocery stores. Okay, supermarkets and grocery stores, there's no way of the store going directly to your farm. Your strawberry already sat at a cooler for about a week at least. And then it's taken to the store. And then at the cooler, there's a spray they put so it can last a little longer. So it's much fresher when you get it straight from a farmer. Farmers market are amazing. We always tell our people too, employees, like, go to farmers markets, go get fresh cilantro that you know it's picked the day before, the day of, or 2 days before, but not a week before.
These strawberries were picked when?
Today.
Okay. And yes. Then the strawberries that I bought at the supermarket today would be picked when?
But probably a week before they got to the supermarket. And then sometimes they last a whole week at the supermarket. You probably get them 2 or 3 weeks old at the actual store already.
Are they picked at the same ripeness for here?
Nope, they're not picked at the same ripeness. When you get them here, they're picked all red. When they're picked for the cooler, sometimes they're 15% green, 50%, from 50 to 15% green. So they ripen as they're sitting in the cooler. And sometimes that's why they're sweeter when you get them fresh. Yes, because the sun gives you all that sweetness. Yes.
Not every supplier has the bandwidth or volume to drop off at the warehouse, so Harvestly makes it as easy as possible.
Luke, he's one of our College Corps fellows. He does a pickup route on Friday mornings. So instead of having all of our farmers be expected to come here, where they don't necessarily have time to do, we provide different locations in North County that have refrigerators and freezers that they can drop off at. And then our College Corps fellow, Luke, drives that pickup route and brings back essentially thousands of items for us to pack in the bags.
Let's go look in that box real quickly.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's a lot of stuff here that they brought in. A lot of diverse stuff. So there's some baked goods, there's some potato chips.
Yep.
And there's a lot of green things.
Hi, my name is Luke Mendoza. I go to Cal Poly, and I'm a College Corps fellow here at Harvestly.
You just drove up with a bunch of stuff. What was that job?
I just do the pickups in Paso and Atascadero. So the day before, on Thursday, I create a list of all the order items and where they need to be picked up. And then I'll come here to the office in the evening on Friday. I'll pick up a lot of baked goods from SLO, pick up a bunch of vendors over in Paso, and make my way down back to the office.
Do you get to interact with those vendors?
Some of them, yes. Some of them, no. A lot of storefronts, so I pick up from like Bread Break, House of Bread, Proof and Gather, and it's always the same person working. So over time, I'm able to just really connect with staff, which is really nice. And then some other vendors will like bring it to one site. But it's been very fun to make those connections, especially in SLO. Like sometimes I'll pass by vendors and then I'll see them outside of Harvestly context. So I'll see them like the farmer's market. I'm like, oh my God, I know you. But it's fun.
What have you gained from this experience?
It's been good work ethic. I think I really do well with structure and consistency. And especially this has been a really good way to work on my work ethic and also keep myself self-disciplined. The job is relatively easy. You drive around a car and you set up bags, but it's just been really good for me, good for my mental health, just good for my well-being.
Are you a Harvestly customer?
I have bought a couple of items in the past, which has been really good. I went back home, I'm from Orange County, and my parents really are big foodies. I'm a foodie myself, so I brought them like a nice bag of goods, avocados and meats, and they really enjoyed it. And I also get to taste a couple of foods here while I'm working. Vendors have extra items or someone's dropping off a couple extra treats, and I really enjoyed it.
So segue to delivery. How many delivery drivers do you have?
Right now we have 5 delivery drivers. We're looking for more if anyone wants to drive. Our drivers can handle usually about 20 deliveries maximum because of space and time in their vehicle. We want to make sure nothing's damaged. You know, we deliver a lot of eggs, we deliver slices of pie, so we don't want bags shoved up against each other or anything. We have one driver that does a coast route, one that does San Luis, usually one or two that does North County. We have quite a few orders up there, and then one that does South, or some conglomeration of that.
And are they volunteers or are they paid for that?
We have a couple paid delivery drivers, and then some of them are our College Corps fellows as well.
How long does it take them to do the deliveries, particularly if they're doing South County?
South County goes all the way to Orchid, so sometimes that takes a little bit. But usually I would say a driver's shift to their final destination is probably 4 to 5 hours maximum. Obviously our San Luis Obispo delivery driver is not that long. That's just a couple of hours, but pretty fast. And I will say a shout out to our customers. They are usually fantastic with tips, and 100% of the driver tips goes to our drivers. Another way that we want to incentivize them and keep them happy and keep them working with us and delivering this delicious food across the coast.
You're listening to KCBX Public Radio for the Central Coast. I'm Father Ian, and I'm at the Harvestly warehouse where they are packing up the online food orders and taking deliveries from suppliers so that eager customers can get freshly grown or freshly prepared foods from all across SLO County. So what is the customer experience?
Yes, I'm a Harvestly customer for sure. We have a lot of our favorites, and we have 2 young boys at home that eat us out of house and home, and so they love everything. It's hard now because they're so used to our fresh food, like bread and strawberries in particular, and they know the vendors. They've gotten to meet them and see their farms and see their bakeries, and so they don't want store-bought food anymore.
Can't you just put a loaf of Wonder Bread in one of your bags and say, oh, look!
You would be surprised. A good example is if an oven broke down and a sourdough vendor wasn't able to drop off. If we are quick enough and if a vendor has some, we can usually substitute it. But our customers are particular. So even if I substitute it with a different vendor's sourdough bread, for example, they might not like it. But we try our best to to have a superior customer service experience for our customers and make sure they're getting everything. And if they're not, they're refunded and compensated, usually with an extra goodie or something like that in their bags.
I get the sense that your customers just kind of use this for some harder to get items or items that they don't want to go out and get or drive up to Paso and get. Is it just kind of a little bit of boutique shopping for your customers?
I don't think so. I think we have such a wide variety for them. They can order their prepared foods that are ready to eat. They can order anything. A lot of our vendors have, you know, small pop-ups where you can't go to a brick and mortar. A lot of our food vendors in particular, you can find at a farmer's market, but you can't really find them anywhere else. If you're not in San Luis and can't go to downtown Thursday night farmer's market, almost 20 vendors just from San Luis Farmer's Market alone are on our site. So you could just order on our site and have it delivered to your door.
But would this be anybody's primary mode of grocery shopping?
We have some customers that will order 2 dozen eggs a week, 3 dozen eggs a week, that's it. We have some customers that will order 1 or 2 soups a week, and that's it. And then we have some customers that do their entire grocery shopping with us. We have pantry items, everything from olive oil made in Santa Margarita to different spices from Mount Olive. You could do your entire grocery shopping through us if you'd like.
What about the back end of your business, digital stuff?
There's a lot of logistics. There's a lot of communication that happens. If you can imagine working with almost 100 vendors on a weekly basis, plus, you know, this week we're doing 99 orders, so that's at least 99 customers potentially that have questions or, you know, want something specific that our vendors will do. One thing that's nice is we do have a button on there that our customers can reach out directly to the vendor. I'll use myself as an example. I wanted to order jalapeno cheddar sourdough bread from Black Sheep Bakery this week, and I love jalapenos. So I messaged her and I said, hey, can you add some extra jalapenos for me? And I said, I'm happy to pay extra if you need. And so she's throwing extra jalapenos in my bread. If you had a dietary issue and had a question about an ingredient or how something was prepared, our vendors want to be successful and they want to work with our customers. And so that provides a really easy tool. They can either reach out to me or they can reach out directly to our vendors.
You said that your Italian baker just went to Italy and presumably isn't producing as much this week because they're a small family-owned business.
Yep.
That means you have to go into the back end and remove their products?
We have a vacation tab tool.
Okay.
So as long as our vendors log in and set themselves on vacation, and then say that was your favorite vendor, if you clicked on them to order, there's a little pop-up that says this vendor's on vacation.
That probably helps you a lot that you can do that with a click, or they can do that with a click, rather than you having to go do all the recoding and all that stuff.
Yes, absolutely. We try to make it as seamless for customers and vendors as possible.
Harvestly seems an amazing service to both the customers and suppliers, but it's also an amazing service to the less bougie. What's the Harvestly to School program?
That connects our local farmers to school sites. So our school children are getting fed really good, nutritious produce that, like Karina and Gerald both mentioned, is harvested within a day or two of their orders. It provides one platform for the schools to go to purchase from multiple farmers and have it delivered to their school site versus the schools saying, here's the food that I need, and the food service directors having to reach out to multiple farmers to get it delivered. This just kind of makes it a little easier for them.
You're the platform for the farm to school program to happen.
Yes, we provide the platform, exactly.
That makes you the middleman, though. I'm sure there has to be some sort of financial remuneration for that service.
Right. So with Harvestly in particular, our doorstep delivery, it's an 80-20 split. So our farmers receive 80%. They also get to choose their prices. We are not in control of their pricing. They know that it's that split. We also run a Farms Together program, which is federally funded. And this week that was frozen. That food was going to our food banks, San Luis Obispo and Santa Maria food banks. We don't want to see that go away for our community, and we don't want to see that go away for our farmers. So Harvestly is working hard to pivot and create a system that our food banks can order from. It's even more of a margin that we're giving our farmers in that program because we want them to be successful. And it's kind of hard because the food bank needs to spend as little money on as much food, and farmers are opposite, right? We want to work to get them as much money as we can for their food. It is a federally funded program. Our California program is called Farms Together. We are allocated a contract. So Harvestly reaches out to the farmers. We make sure their produce is listed online. Again, they choose their prices. It's retail pricing for bulk, which is a really big deal because usually they're selling to coolers that try to pay as little as possible. In return, our food banks receive the most like culturally relevant fresh food. Like Karina said, they harvest the strawberries the day of or the day before. Usually food banks, unfortunately, get kind of the leftovers, and this is a way to flip it. They get the most fresh food. So we're very excited about that program and hope it continues. But this week has been definitely challenging.
One of the things I find amazing about the Central Coast is that so often we find a product or service that appears to be in reach of only a select few. But if we take a wider view, we discover that the widest range of our population is being served, fulfilling both the wants of a few and the needs of others in one fell swoop. Harvestly is yet another one of those services and another great reason to live on the Central Coast. This is KCBX Public Radio for the Central Coast. I'm Father Ian, and I'm playing with food.